You're listening to the World Health Organization podcast, Evidence in Action, Episode 3. I'm your host, Jamie Guerra. Welcome. In this series, we are focusing on the outbreak of Zika virus, which has been reported in dozens of countries around the world from 2015 onwards. We find out why we need to consider bioethics to take the right action for society. We first talked to Dr. Abba Saxena, the team leader for global health ethics at WHO. We then interviewed Dr. Thomas Jenisch, who is coordinating research to study the effect of Zika virus infection on pregnant women. Welcome, Dr. Saxena.
Thank you.
Dr. Saxena, what is bioethics?
Bioethics is the study of ethics as it relates to all living beings. And when I say ethics, I mean the study of what is the right and wrong conduct in a society or for people. What is the right action for society to do?
Is WHO ahead of the curve in terms of looking at bioethics?
I think we are quite proactive, and we are looking at issues as they are developing. Public health activities raise so many concerns, and they're so varied. At any given point in time, for example, my team is looking at issues ranging from treatment of children in hard-to-reach areas to issues raised by radiation techniques, for example, during airport screening.
So what is the role of WHO in managing ethical issues in infectious disease outbreaks?
WHO has a role to develop ethical guidelines and ethical standards during emergencies, and we did that. WHO also has a role in bringing different stakeholders to identify and discuss the ethical concerns related to particular research methodologies and research projects, even before they're implemented.
Research is key to solving mysteries around Zika and to developing tools such as vaccines. In 2016, WHO developed the Zika virus research agenda, which identifies critical areas of research. Moreover, to facilitate implementation of key research, WHO developed several protocols that researchers around the world can use and adopt to their specific research context. Would you explain to our listeners what a research protocol is?
Research protocols are developed by investigators, and they decide on what the study question should be, how they should solve that study question, who are the people who are involved in that study, where are they going to identify those people, what are the minimum number of people they need to be included in the study, and then what interventions will be done and how they will be done, how will they be followed up. So these are all the sort of things that a research protocol includes.
So can you explain to us why the protocol has to be reviewed by a research ethics committee before research can be conducted?
First and foremost, the purpose of the ethics review committee is to answer the question whether or not this research has social value. If the research has no social value or does not have enough social value to justify the risks and harms, possible harms, then the ethics committee could say, sorry, this research cannot be undertaken in the way that it is developed.
And can you tell us what's special about research during an emergency?
First of all, when it's during an epidemic, people are scared. There is a lot of fear around. There's a lot of uncertainty. People don't know enough. There are a lot of rumors going around. So it is in this milieu that research is being undertaken.
What kind of an impact does uncertainty have on research ethics review committees?
They need to do things quickly. They need to do things in a climate of uncertainty and be supportive of research, but also finding out ways where unnecessary research is not undertaken. So they need to be on a very narrow path.
How important is it for researchers investigating Zika virus disease to share information?
I think there is a strong ethical imperative to share information as it becomes available, especially during an epidemic, because the outcome of research might actually inform the public health action. And so they should be shared not only with other investigators, but with public health professionals where relevant, so that required actions can be swiftly taken.
Thanks for speaking with us today, Dr. Saxena.
Thank you.
Dr. Jenisch is joining us from Heidelberg University in Germany. Dr. Jenisch, you are coordinating a cohort study to advance our knowledge about the risk of babies born with abnormalities to mothers who had Zika virus infection during pregnancy. What exactly is a cohort study?
So in a cohort study, we are following pregnant women throughout their whole pregnancy. And then some of those pregnant women might get infected with the Zika virus. Others might not get infected. In the end, we will compare the risk of having congenital abnormalities in the child between those pregnant women who got infected and those who did not get infected in the pregnancy.
With this study, which is following the same groups of women over a longer period of time, what do you hope to find out?
So our key question is, imagine there's a pregnant woman coming to a consultation to a medical doctor. She wants to know what is her risk to have damage to the unborn child if she is infected with Zika. And that risk is difficult to estimate right now. So what we want to know is, can we give this pregnant woman more precise information what the risk might be?
We understand that several other researchers are also conducting cohort studies with pregnant women. Recently, WHO has convened these researchers at WHO headquarters. Why?
We are setting up our cohort studies in locations where the Zika epidemic has struck, but is already on the decline. So now we are forming a meta-consortium where we all, in the end, plan to put our data together, because we might not be able to have enough cases in each of our individual cohorts to answer the scientific questions we have promised to deliver. We are not waiting for 2-3 years and realize then afterwards that all of our individual cohorts are not big enough to answer certain questions.
Why is WHO coordinating this effort?
The key role of WHO is to be an honest broker, to provide a neutral platform so that the individual researchers can meet there and can exchange their data, can come up with a governing structure for this meta-consortium, agree on rules about authorships, agree on rules about data sharing, and be supported by WHO as a moderator, if you want. And we can also build mechanisms that ensure that the data speaks to each other, that is harmonized, standardized.
You are referring to the data that is collected as part of the cohort studies, in particular keeping private the identities and the demographic information of the women, as well as data about their blood and other biological samples. Dr. Saxena from WHO felt that there are strong ethical imperatives to share information as it becomes available. In your view, what are some of the ethical challenges around data sharing and analysis?
Ethics in these studies implies that each individual gives informed consent at the beginning of the study. And in this informed consent process, we have to declare what we will do with data and samples of each of the participants. So we have to already inform them what we want to do with the data, if the data is going to be sent outside of the country, who is going to analyze it. So this is one issue that we have to discuss right now.
So what are some of the incentives for researchers to share their cohort study data with WHO and third parties?
For one, it's our concern and our duty or moral imperative to make sure that we can actually provide the answers that we want to provide to the public. It's quite an exciting time, and data sharing is really encouraged right now by funders, by WHO, and so it's taking on in the research community.
Thank you, Dr. Jenisch.
Thank you.
The next podcast episode will look at how qualitative research, questions about the why and how of a problem, can put a human face on health emergencies and help us respond to them more effectively. Stay tuned for another episode of Evidence in Action. That's all for today. Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Zika and complications on who.int. For the World Health Organization, this is Jamie Guerra in Geneva.